Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday Family Night. Are you ready to praise Him? I said, are you ready to praise Him? Welcome those of you who are in-house, those of you watching via live stream. What an awesome evening to worship God. I said, what an awesome evening to worship God. Welcome those of you watching and those of you here. Come on, stand on your feet. Let's sing a little bit. Take a moment and look at two or three people, or go to two or three people and just say, it's good to see you. It's good to see you. And it's good to be seen. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, wait. Well, let's try this again. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan will have to flee. Oh, tell me who can stand before us when we call on that great name. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory. Come on, sing it. Well, in the name of Jesus, in the name, we have the victory, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan will have to flee. Tell me, who can stand before when we call, when we call on that great name. Jesus, 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 precious Jesus, we have the victory. Come on, clap those hands and say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan will have to flee. Oh, tell me who can stand before us when we call on that great name. Come on, what's his name? Jesus.
declare the victory tonight. Hallelujah. God, we give you praise. We give you praise tonight. Hallelujah.
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing.
Come on, who am I?
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me?
It's amazing.
It's amazing. I am a friend of God.
I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
Come on, sing that like you mean it. Come on, say. Us. It's amazing.
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 I am a friend of God. Say,
I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me.
Tonight.
God Almighty, God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me
friend. Oh, I am a friend.
I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God.
He calls me. Thank you, Lord, that you call us friends. Oh, we bless your name, oh God.
Hallelujah.
We love you, Jesus.
Surrender.
I surrender
all to him.
All to him I freely give.
I will ever love and trust him.
I will ever
love and trust him.
And trust
in his presence.
His presence.
Daily live.
Daily.
I surrender a
I surrender all.
Blessed
Savior, I surrender.
Oh,
I surrender.
Oh, surrender to the Lord tonight. Surrender to you tonight.
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
I know some of the young people don't know that song. It's an old hymn. But whether you know the words of that song or not, you can surrender to the Lord from your heart. Would you just take a moment and just tell the Lord, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my strength to you. I surrender my weaknesses to you. I cast all my care upon you, for I know you care for me. You don't want me to carry anything that I don't need to carry. You don't want me carrying heavy weights. So I surrender to you, Lord. We give it to you. We give everything to you tonight. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for your presence here tonight. Thank you, God, for being the strength of our lives. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you that it is in you that we live, move, and have our being. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for our young people tonight, God. Thank you, Lord. Just pray that you'd bless them and strengthen them, God. Pray that they know that they are loved, not only from their parents and loved ones, but loved by you. Hallelujah. That truly you are their friend, someone that they can talk to, someone that they can come to. And may they know that they are truly a part of our church family. Strengthen them, God. Bless tonight, God. Bless the furtherance of our service and our meeting times. We pray, Lord, that you would receive the glory and the honor out of everything that is done. Bless everyone that is here tonight. Bless them, God. Hallelujah. Thank you that even though we have a little cold weather, that you are warm. You make us warm on the inside. Thank you, Lord, that you are in the midst of our lives, working everything out for our good. Thank you that you know what's best for us, and we yield to you tonight. Thank you that you are our strength, even in our weakness. You are our hope, even when we don't see any hope. You are our peace in the midst of our storms. Thank you, Lord. You are all that and more. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's say our affirmation prayer together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart, because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up, because I can do all things through you who strengthens me, and I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree, according to 3 John 2, that in every area of my life I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. Our Lord God has spoken it. With thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Come on, give God a hand praise. Hallelujah. We'll take a moment and greet a few people, and we're going to at this time dismiss our youth. I don't see any children here. Going to dismiss our youth over into the fellowship hall. Pastor Sinola has something very special for you over there.
Oh, how old is Tristan? Oh.
All right. Naya, we have 1 6-year-old. He might want to stay with the young youth tonight. Reaser bags. Who put some Reaser bags in the fellowship hall? Good evening, everybody. Well, welcome to Just One Verse Bible Study. Everybody ready? All right. All right, here we go. This is going to be a good discussion. Hebrews 13, 5. Hebrews 13, 5. I know y'all have heard this joke. 13, 5. I know y'all have heard this joke before, but there will be coffee in heaven because he brews. All right. I'm going to read it in two versions. I'm going to read it in the New American Standard Bible, and then I'm going to read it in the New King James Version. Hebrews 13:5. Is that right? All right. It says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. I'll read that again, New American Standard Bible. Make sure that your character is free from the love of what? Being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Then the New King James Version says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let your conduct be without covetousness. And so covetousness is desiring things, yes, but in the context of this verse specifically, it is talking about money. So let's define money. All right, what is money? It's really not. You know, somebody says, give me some money. Let me ask, you have any money? We're talking about the dollar bills or the 20s, you know, hundreds. What's after that? 500s, 1,000s, whatever. Paper. It's really not. Money, in its most simple definition, is a medium of exchange. A tool. You're right. Yeah, I wasn't. I'm sorry. I wasn't ignoring you. But you're right. It's a tool. It is a medium of exchange. Now, just to help us out, before we had money, how did people get things? Bartered, right? So, trade, right? If I had a, you know, if I needed a pig, somebody else had a pig, and if that person needed a goat and I had a goat, we would barter. You know, I'll give you this, all right? So money is sort of kind of takes the place of that, right? It's a tool. It's a medium that we can use to barter for everything.
So we can walk out this door and go anywhere that is selling stuff, and we can present them with this medium of exchange. And they will accept that and say, oh, you have a goat. Right? So it's a medium of exchange. And that's important. That's important because the love of money is rooted in the desire to have more of that power to exchange this medium. That's the root of it. It's really a desire for more power because society says, I'm not going to say there's truth to it, but society says the more of that medium that you have, the more power that you have. And if we were all honest, a part of why we, I'm not saying love because we're going to get into that, desire to have more is so that we can be able to do more, right? We always, every Sunday, we say, I'm blessed to be blessed. So we want to be, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. I want to be more blessed so that I can be able to be more of a blessing. Okay? So, being able to be a blessing means having the ability to do more and in a sense, get more, not for me per se, but for others. And, you know, while I'm in this neighborhood, I'll just say, yeah, I do want to be able to take my wife on vacations and buy her nice things. So, yes, there's a part of it, and that's not a sin. Okay? All right. And while we're on that, let me just, and I didn't even have this in my notes, a scripture that we read all the time. I know it by heart, but 2 Corinthians 8, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. I want to have an abundance to the extent that anytime anybody needs anything, you know, so that is not that's not the love of money. That's not, do y'all understand what I'm saying? Okay. All right. So, but getting back to the text here, the love of money is rooted in having more power. Having more power. It's interesting the writer of James didn't say, you know, you rich people need to watch out for the love of money, because it doesn't matter. You could, if you're poor, you want to experience that power. You haven't experienced it, but you see it. You see people that have, and if you're rich, you want more of that power. You'd be surprised how many rich people can't sleep at night because they're afraid they still don't have enough. You know? So that's what we're talking about. It's a desire, even a lust. Turn to James, the fourth chapter. Then I'm going to ask you a few questions. Y'all ready for a few questions? I want answers. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. What's the movie title? Go. What's the movie title? Huh? A few Good Men. That'd be a good show where somebody gets up and just says a quote, and people have to figure out what the movie. All right. That's the wrong. I love doing stuff like that. All right. James 4, verses 1 through 3. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? People want money for pleasures, the love of money. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And then, verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motive so that you may spend it on your pleasures. People want more because they want to spend it on their pleasures. They just, you know. Have you ever watched, haven't watched in a while, but stories about people that won the lottery, millions of dollars, and then after a few years, it's all gone. And then you have the professional athletes who make millions of dollars. And the average, I've heard it said that 5 years, the average like NBA player or NFL player, 5 years after they leave the league, they're broke. That's just hard for me to understand. Now, there are some athletes that do very good. I read an article recently that one player, I think an NBA player that had been out of the league for years, never, you know, splurged on anything, has most of the money that they still made to this day. So anyway, so pleasures. Look at John, 1 John 2. 1 John 2. I don't know. And nowadays, it used to be years ago that $1 million was, now it's like $1 million, well, hey, nothing. But I'm saying, okay, give me $1 million. I'm going to make that $1 million work, man. Shoot. So 1 John 2, 15. This sort of goes back to the root of the, you know, the love of money. It says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. See, if you love the things in the world, you're going to want to get them things. And it takes money to get those things. Okay? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world. Look, if you don't remember, no, I mean, there's a lot of verses to memorize. But if you, verse 16 right here, it's, this is it, because anything that we ever do that is not pleasing to God falls in one of these three categories. For all that is in the world, all that is in the world, here it is, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. So people, that's the love of money has to do with one of those areas, the lust of the flesh. Something that they've seen or that they want. Lust of the eyes, something that they've seen and they want. And the boastful pride of life. People have the love of money because it's status. I don't want to fly coach. I want to fly first class. First class everything. All right? And I'm going to have an entourage. Everybody's going first class. That's that $1 million is gone already, isn't it? It's gone. It's gone. Yes, sir. That's okay, because you know, look, a balcony is good. You don't need the suite on the ship though. You don't need the presidential suite. All right. So here's a question. With that backdrop, is wanting more money, the same as having a love for money? Is wanting more money the same as having a love for money? Because it says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. So is wanting more money, you know, if I said to you, man, I want more money, can you look at me and say, ooh, you love, ooh, you sinning? So if not, what? So, You want to? Okay, the love of money is the same as covetousness. I want, right? So okay, so with that answer, how much can you want before it turns into covetousness? Right? I mean, Kevin, how many people do you want to bless? I mean, you ain't blessing that many people. I'm messing with you. I mean, what? how much, you know, it's sort of like, and here's the danger. The danger is that, you know, you have kind of have in your eye sort of the level, right? For example, I'm not going to tell you, but I have a sort of a level of I want to be able to carry a certain amount of cash. I'm sorry. I want to be able to carry a certain amount of cash, partly because cash is king. But the other is just, so if I, let's just say I have in my head, I want to be able to, here's the danger. Let's just say I want to be able to carry $1,500 at all times. Just, I want to be able to carry $1,500 at all times, right? And let's say that I get to that level, right? And I'm good for a week. Yes, yeah, it'd be seed money. I want to be able to. You're making me qualify. Now I'm feeling guilty. I said, let's say. I didn't say. No, but so then my point is if I get to that level and I'm able to always carry $1,500 at all times, all right? So then, huh? But then is that going to be enough? Then I say, well, Lord, if you bless, if I can, you know, 1,500, let's make it, let's round it up. See, now that's sort of getting carried away. Well, if I'm giving 75% of it away, if I'm just, and I'm like, God, I want to give more. Let's ramp that up. So it is all about your motives. That's a good point. Your motives. So, I have this statement in here somewhere. Let me see. I could have been content with, because it says be content with what you have. So, I needed to be, I could have been content with 1500, but here's my point. You can't be content and covetous at the same time. Well, they say, "Oh, that's it. That's a you can't be content, because when you're content, you're done. So I don't need anything else, right? But when you're covetous, you know, like you're always wanting more, right? Yes." Well, yeah, but that's coveting, yeah. That's true. Yeah. You're giving to show off. Yeah. Wrong motives. Yeah. Yeah, you know, there are, and we see them all the time. We just don't necessarily know. But there are rich people, right? That have walked by you at Walmart. You would never know. They got dirty jeans on, and you know, you know, whatever. You just, you look, Ollie is rolling in it. You just don't know.
Linda is rolling. Ollie just on her coattails, huh? Ollie's along for the ride. you keep. So
we have to be careful. What's the? Maybe we need to do this one on one verse. What's the verse that says it is harder for a rich man to go through the eye of a, yeah, right? So there's sort of the more we get, the temptation is the more we want, and the more pride we have, and look what I got, and you know, right. Yes, let me. I'm glad you brought that. That's in that. Thank you, Ollie. See, Ollie's good for something. Look at him here. that's a good point. Let me read it. It's in Philippians. It says. Philippians 4, 11. Not that I speak from want, he said, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. See, that's the thing. Now, then he says, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. Now, that's a testimony. I think the King James says I've learned how to be abased, right? And how to abound. In other words, sometimes I need somebody to buy me lunch. Other times I can treat everybody. I've been both places, you know. That's right. And the ability to be content in any place. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Now, we read, I can do all things through him who strengthens. We read that all the time. But the context of that verse, verse 13, I can do all things, is being able to be content in whatever circumstance you are in. You can do all things. I ain't got no money. You can do all things. Be content. So is wanting more the same as loving money? No, it isn't. You, as long as you're content with what you have, and that you don't, and that you don't want more because of a wrong motive. Okay. We just had a board retreat. It was here, but the Lymans came and we met, and in the midst of our meeting, we decided to double the giving to the missions that we support. We support Baptist Children's Home. We support an orphanage in Guntur, India. We support Mercy Chefs, a ministry called Mercy Chefs. They go to disaster areas and provide meals for people. We support a place called 8 Days of Hope. And what they do is when a disaster hits, they go and rebuild cities and homes. And so all of, I think those main four. And we have just decided, and this is a blessing, we have just decided to start giving to a ministry called Stand for Justice. And they minister to young ladies who are in sex trafficking. And so we're just now starting with them. But the ones that we have been given to for a few years, we decided to double it. So let me just say this. The more you give, the more you'll have to give. All right, so the point I was making is that we're asking God to bless the presence in Owosso, to be able to give more. Right? So as long as your motive is pure, you know, you're not saying, Lord, give me more so I can, you know, get another car or bigger house and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You ain't taking none of that with you. Right? Okay, so what is the danger? What are the dangers? I don't know if we've hit on this or not. So if anything, anybody has an answer to this, what is the danger of loving money? What is the danger? Yeah. Okay. Pride. Ooh, that's a good point. You will do anything to get it. That takes you off all kind of ways, huh? And people do crazy stuff for money. Crazy stuff. All right, turn to 1 Timothy. I thought Ollie would bring this scripture up, but he didn't bring it. No, I'm just messing with you, Ollie. So 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. 1 Timothy 6. And I'm going to read verse 6 through 12. Because this speaks to the danger. Okay. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Ooh, that's powerful right there. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. That's why I said all this stuff we're trying to get. Right? If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. You know, I could just hold that spot. I could take you over to Matthew, the 6th chapter, around in verse 33. Just that whole passage talks about worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, you know, how you're going to live. You know, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. You don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. So here's, if we have food and covering, look, what else? Really, what else do you need? I mean, think about people that's they're struggling to get that. And we losing sleep because we want more. All right. 9, verse 9. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare. That's what Miss Jane was talking about. And many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. That's the danger of the love of money. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. Woo! Listen. It's not money. It's the love of it. Money is not evil. It's the love of it. Medium of exchange. I want more power to exchange. I want to be able to exchange more. Okay? For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. All sorts. Let that marinate. All sorts of. That's what Miss Jane was talking about. You go off the deep end. You do anything. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Y'all need to, woo, that's powerful right there. But flee from these things, you man of God and you women of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. So when I see that word pursue, because the love of money causes you to pursue after it. monopolizes your time. That's all you think about, is how to get more. Right? You like the, watch the shows where there's bank robbers, whatever. They don't rob just one bank, because they rob that one bank, they get away with it, and they're just, let's do it again. Right? Don't pursue the love of money. Don't pursue worldly gain. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. The verse says, make sure that your character, everybody say character, is free. It's a character issue, right? Our mission here at the Presence, right, to honor and celebrate the presence of God and build a people who passionately pursue his character in their everyday lives. We're going to put that up. We used to have it on that wall. We painted, but we're going to put it on. We're in the process of putting our mission statement on that first hallway. As you walk in, but covetousness is a character issue. Listen, we've read all the scriptures that talk about lust of the flesh, pride of life is not from God. Having a love for anything that supersedes our love for God is sin. Anything. And here's the thing that's interesting. I would say that the love of money is one of the most powerful. Why else would he? I don't know what was going on with the people that the Hebrew writer was writing to, but there must have been people who were just, right? But that's a sin, to covet anything more than God. Jesus said in Matthew 12:37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. All right, and then I'll just say it. The verse that says you cannot love God and mammon at the same time, right? You love one, hate the other. You hate the one. You can't love them both. You can't be content and covetous at the same time. Who you gonna serve? Huh? Don't be a Judas. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right. I think we did in one of our just one verses, I think we did Deuteronomy 31 and 8, and there's a few scriptures. I'm not gonna read them, but the last part says, I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you. Here's the thing. When you read this verse, it's sort of, I'm not saying that last part is out of place, but I'm not saying it doesn't fit, but it's just interesting that it says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave. Yeah, I know he'll never leave you but forsake you, but does that mean you're going to give me money? No, but the point is this. It's not money you need when God is with you. He said God is going to be with you. You have to be content with that. He's going to provide everything that you need. Listen. Matthew 6:33 says, don't worry about what you eat, what you drink, right? You don't even have to fast and pray for that. That's just seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things, those things are just going to be added. Then if you add to that the fact that it says that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you. Not if you delight yourself in the Lord, you got to fast and pray. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the. Now, your desire's got to be, it can't be for the love of money. Got to be good. It's got to be things that are according to his will. But But the desires of your heart, listen, listen. We have to have balance. So it's okay. It's okay if you have a clunker car. You say, God, I desire a better car. That's not evil. God wants you to. It's not that if you serve him, you know, you got to drive a clunker. You got to live in a, you know. No, having nice things is okay. My point is if you serve him, if you seek him and all your needs are met, and then you delight yourself in him and all your desires are met, what else do you need? So that's, I think that's the whole point of, he said, I'll never leave you or desert you. So what are you coveting for? You're my child. So that scripture is also found in Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 and 8. I'm not going to read them. I just want Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 and 8. First Chronicles 28 and 20, just in case you want to reference these or write them down. And 1 Kings 8 and 57. So Deuteronomy 31, 6 and 8. 1 Chronicles 28 and 20. And 1 Kings 8, 57. All right, I think that was a real good lesson. I think everybody give me $100. No, any other comment? This really is good. This teaching, our whole church needs to hear it, because some people are sort of, you know, bound, you know, and it's really easy to kind of to get off. Yeah. Any other comments, questions? It's a character issue, right? It's a character issue. I have some financial goals, right? I turned 60 last year, and it's interesting. You don't think about things like retirement when you're 20 and 30 years old, but when you should. But so I have, you know, I have some financial goals, and Look, man, if I'm able to give you $1 million, that means I am really rolling. But I when we say blessed to be a blessing, when we read that scripture in 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, you know, that talks about having more than enough. Not to consume it upon our own lust, but to be a blessing. That's all good. All right? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. And God, we all of us desire to be blessed to the level that you desire us to be, or that you want us to be. Not anything more and not anything less. We are content. And if we're not, help us to be content with what we have and to realize, I know this, everyone in this room, everyone in the sound of my voice, we're tremendously blessed. And so may we be content with what we have, and be careful not to want beyond what is reasonable according to your will. And so thank you, Father, for your many, many blessings. You're so good. You're so good. And so we thank you. Bless everyone here tonight. Bless our youth and our children. And we just thank you for this time of study. In Jesus' name, amen. Lift those hands toward heaven. I give the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1 and 11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are. There is the blessing. And bless you just as he has promised you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you all. God bless.